begin this evening with probably one of the most famous of the memories in all of the Torah Kedosha, when Bnei Yisrael said to Hashem, Naaseh v'nishma, that first we will do, and then after we're going to hear. Now there's an interesting idea that's expressed. Why does it say first we'll do and then we'll hear? Naaseh v'nishma. And there's a comment from the Brisker Rav that goes as follows. That when a person hears something, if we would have said we're going to hear the mitzvah before we're going to do the mitzvah, each of us hear in a different way. Kishem Shaparsafayim, just like our faces are different, so too is our deoseim, our thoughts, our machshavos are different. Each person could hear something or think about something in a different way. You could say to one person, you can come for a nominal donation. You know, they're making some kind of an event. So one person, a nominal donation can mean 50 cents. Another person, a nominal donation could be $10. So therefore there's a difference in the way that a person may think. Because of that, it can't be that everyone would be ba'achdus, because in such a case, everybody would be different. Everyone would be thinking their own thing. Even when somebody says a piece in Torah, there can be a person thinking on a very deep level, there could be a person thinking on a more elementary level. So the nasa gets all mixed up. There are different levels of the nishma, the hearing, can be all mixed up. There can be people that are not thinking in the same wavelength, but they're thinking about the Torah. Nasa is different, an action. No matter what it is, all of our actions are the same. All of our actions are equal. If one person goes and they give a quarter to tzedakah, and the next person gives a quarter to tzedakah, it's all equal. Therefore, Hashem wanted it should be a complete unity at the time of Kabbalah Satara, that we should all be united. If we would have said Nishma first, then we all wouldn't have been united, because we're all on different levels thinking about different things. But the Nasa, the action, that action ties us in immediately. As soon as we are committing something, we're doing something together, we're ba'achdus, is complete unity. Furthermore than that, just one little thing. What happens if one guy gives $100 and another guy can give $1? So you may say that the actions aren't the same. One guy gave $100, one guy gave $1. The answer is that they're still doing the same, because it doesn't matter how much or how little or what they did or what they all have a chelek. They all have a complete part in the in Kabbalah Satorah. They all have a complete part in the donation. The money, the amount, does not matter whatsoever. So therefore Hashem wanted that there should be an achdus, because without that unity, without the achdus, we could not be mekabel the Torah. There's a good reason for it. I'll just go into it for a second. As everybody knows, that we are supposed to be mekayim all of the Torah. We're supposed to fulfill every mitzvah. Now we have a problem. We cannot fulfill every mitzvah because, for instance, I'm not a kohen. I'd like to be a kohen, but I'm not a kohen. So when it comes time for Berachas Kohanim, some mitzvah in the Torah, kohes to Borachas Bnei Yisrael, I don't have a chance to do it. That's the first thing. Then the second mitzvah could be a mitzvah for a Levi. I'm not a Levi, I can't do that. And then there's certain mitzvahs hatluyos ba'aretz, certain mitzvahs depend on being in Eretz Yisrael. I can't do that either. So now, Sotim Makayim Tayag mitzvahs, by the time I'm done with all the lists, I see that there's a lot of mitzvahs that I can't do. The only way that I could be Makayim them all is if I tie myself in together with Klal Yisrael. Once I join with every Yid, and I'm Ba'achdus, so when the Kohen said, when the Kohen goes to bench the people, I'm included in that. It's like I'm doing it too. When the Yid keeps Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael and lets his land lie and doesn't farm it, so I'll be Makayim that mitzvah too, because I'm Ba'achdus. That's only if I consider myself as part of Klal Yisrael. Once I take myself out from Klal Yisrael, so then I am not considered as part anymore. I don't share in everybody's skuyos. A simple idea. If you want to come, come into the minyan, the tzibur. Say a guy does not know how to say Ivra, cannot daven Shemone Esrei. Very simple. Just stand, listen to the chazan say Shemone Esrei, and say Amen. You say Amen, even you didn't say a word. You get the mitzvah of every tefillah. Anybody that comes in. What happens if a person stands outside? person stands outside, they don't get the mitzvah. Because they didn't put themselves ba'achdus, they didn't tie themselves in with a tzibur. Now there is a question, what happens if you heard the shofar outside? You didn't make it in time, right? You're rushing into shofar, and all of a sudden, when you're outside, the window's open, you heard the shofar. You could be yotzeh. You could be yotzeh because the Baal Tekeh is supposed to have in mind that anybody that's standing behind the wall is also included in his bracha. But this is a very interesting idea. Sometimes in order to be included, you have to be able to be seen. I'll give you an example. Hilchos Brachos. I don't want to say too many halachos tonight, but just a few. Hilchos Brachos. A person makes a shahakol, they're drinking a coffee. And where are they drinking the coffee? They're drinking the coffee in the Beis Medrash here. Afterwards, they want to go in the other room. Now, are they allowed to take the coffee and take it into the other room and drink it? Or is it a shinoi mokom? Is it a change of a place? And therefore it requires a new bracha. If you change your place, you have to make a new bracha. If you have a coffee and then all of a sudden you want to go outside and you want to walk, you have to make a new bracha when you go outside. But the halacha is, if you can still see the place, if you're inside, if you can see the original place where you made the bracha, and you can view the place where you want to go to, you don't have to make another bracha. That is all. There's achdus with people, there's achdus with space, there is a unity dependent upon where one is. There's a unity depending on how much a person has in mind that they want to include themselves with the rest of Klal Yisrael. Because of that fact, Hashem wanted that we first have achdus, which is so important, that there's no pirut. Pirut means like we're not separated from each other, that we're all very strong, that we're unified together. That's what Hashem wants, because then we can be mekayim all the mitzvahs, and then all of us are constantly sharing zchuyos back and forth. If you daven, like we said, you daven in a minyan, and there's a good person that's davening in a minyan, he davens with a lot of kavana. So even if our own tefillahs is somewhat fall short a little bit, the tefillahs go up with that person that's davening so strong, the tefillahs go straight up to Shemayim in that person's schus. And that happens all around. Okay, so that's why it was so important that we had to be ba'achdus in the time of the Kabbalah Satorah, because that's the only way we could accept the Torah. And furthermore than that, not everybody knew the Torah. How can I accept the whole Torah? I don't know what I have to do. But if everybody accepts the Torah, if everyone is Makabal, then there's a different level. So it says here, the Nesiva says the following. Vayisaper la'om eskol divrei Hashem v'eskol mishpatim. That Moshe Rabbeinu said over to Klal Yisrael all the words of Hashem, all the laws. Vayan kolom kol echon, and the whole nation answered with one voice. Vayomru kol ish kol asher diber Hashem nasa v'nishma. Every person said, whatever Hashem says, I will do. Vayichtoy Moshe eskol divrei Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it all down. And Moshe Rabbeinu read it. Vayikra, and it says the following, Vayikra ba'osnei ha'am, and he said it into the ears of all of the nation. Vayomru kol asher diber Hashem nasa v'nishma. And then they said that everything that Hashem said, we're going to listen, we're going to do. This parsha is difficult parsha. Why? Because when this was originally said, it was before Matan Torah. It was before the Torah was given over. We have to understand, why is it written here? Even though we know there's no muktum or mu'ukhar b'Torah, you could read about something happening in one time and actually it happened much later. There's no chronological order in the Torah. Things can be out of order. V'vada yesh kavanam yuchedes, we have to know what was the specific intention that was in mind. Sheparshas Kabbalah Satorah Nechleka, that the parsha of Kabbalah Satorah was divided into two. Half of it we had last week in Parshas Yisroel. Half of it we have this week in Parshas Mishpatim. There had to be a reason. Certainly it would have been much easier to tie up the package neatly, have the whole Kabbalah Satorah in Yisroel Mishpatim, just like we have the whole story of Balak and Parshas Balak, just like a person has the whole Bereishis and Bereishis. You don't see the Maisa Bereishis and then go to Noach and Lech Lecha and read the other part. It's all contained. And that's how it's L'chaira, apparently it should have been the same way for Kabbalah Satorah. So it says an interesting thing. And then the Chazal were Dairish, Va'omru Ve'elam Mishpatim, Shemaisiv Al Rishonim, that it comes to add from what the originals that were given over, Ma Rishonim is Sinai, Afeilu is Sinai. Just like the original mitzvahs are from Sinai, so too these are from Sinai. Harin Lezed Dai Hoya B'Kaisov Ye'elu La'at, that this could have been done after the whole parsha of Kabbalah Satorah. Why does there have to be a hefsek in the middle between Kabbalah Satorah of last week and Kabbalah Satorah of this week? The other idea has to be, why does it say that Moshe Rabbeinu by his saper, the lashon of saper, to tell? Why does that have to be that Moshe Rabbeinu told, like telling over a story to Bnei Yisrael? Why couldn't it have said Vayomer, Vaydaber? Why Vayisaper? Now, on a simple level, you could say Vayisaper means that's a level of relating. If you're going to tell over what happened to you, you're going to affect the person much greater than if you say, do this, and it says that, and the Torah says this, and the Torah... You know, that's like data. Person, computer can also generate a voice and say data. Vayisaper is different. Vayisaper is that you got to tell over with emotion, you got to tell over with feeling. It's like a story that a person has to give over the right thing. If you tell a story that has no emotion, doesn't have movement, dynamic, story's boring. It's, you can't listen to the story because there's a certain level in communication. Okay, so what does it say? It says, why in the beginning does it say Kol Asher Dibur Hashem Naaseh, and only after that it says Naaseh V'Nishma. Another deal. First time we read about it in the Torah, it says only Naaseh. We will do. Then later on, we read both words, Naaseh V'Nishma. Okay. This is a question. And the question is twofold. Why? Let's go one step further. Why did we have to say Naaseh V'Nishma? I will do it. I will hear. You know, it's hard to do a mitzvah. Sometimes a person didn't hear. I had somebody came to the house earlier this week. And the person didn't know. A whole family came in. And a person didn't know that a certain mitzvah was a mitzvah. I found this by a person that didn't know Shatnas. Somehow they never knew about Shatnas, right? Or maybe they didn't think you have to check. You know, if you buy a suit today, who wears suits? Either, right? So you have to check Shatnas. People didn't know. They didn't know. I had years ago, a lot of people asked the question, you have to check? So I said, well, yeah, should check the suit for Shatnas. So he says, what happens if I never check? So I said, if you never check, you got to start checking. So then the person would say, well, what happens if I have a whole closet full of clothes? So I said, well, you got to hire a van. take the clothes and you got to check it. It's a d'oraisa. You can't, you know, there's no way out of it. It's a d'oraisa that a person has to be very careful in, because it's one of those yisurim that if a person davens and they go and they buy a new suit for Rosh Hashanah, for Yom Kippur, and they step into davening, and they're davening in a suit and chas v'sholom is shatnas or in an outfit. What happens? The tefillahs are not niskabel. It says the tefillahs are not niskabel. Why? Because they're wearing something that's a devar eser, something that is wrong. Furthermore than that, that the shatnas is such an inyan that a person has to realize that there is a very deep idea in not wearing shatnas. It does not bring that... The two different ideas together, wool and linen, which is also a combination of what Cain and Hevel did. Remember, Cain brought, and Hevel also brought, and there was a mixture of the two minim. We don't know how to do that correctly. We keep them separate, which means shalom in the world. There's a lot of different ideas. Interesting. Agav Orcha. What happens if it's an Issa D'oraisa? How are you allowed to go to the store to try on a suit? What happens to suit shatnas? Even a suffix d'oraisa l'chumra. If it's a doubt concerning a law of Torah, you got to pass the l'chumra, you got to be machmir. So if you put it on, what are you allowed to do? You're allowed to take a little bit of the, say for instance, you go and you see you got a sandwich somewhere, right? They say, you know what? It's a suffix. I can eat a little bit of the sandwich just to taste if I like it. Then I'll find out if it's kosher or not. Some people, you know, they happen, but it's not a possibility to try out an isser for any reason. Primogodim says you're allowed to try it on. You're just allowed to try it on. Well, you shouldn't walk around the store for half an hour. If you try it on, there's no hana. When you try it on, it's only to see if it fits. It's not for chimum, it's not for warmth, it's not for pleasure, it's not going to protect you from the elements, it's just trying on. So there's a heter from the Prima Godim that a person is allowed to try it on just for trying. So the Nesiva says further that how is it possible that if a person comes to the inyan of Kabbalah Satorah, how is it possible to begin with that they can be Makabal the whole Torah? We don't know if we'll be able to be Makabal, if we could do everything that it says in the Torah. We know that Avram Avinu, we learned that Avram Avinu was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Ad Sheloi Nitna. Before the Torah was given over, Avram Avinu did every mitzvah, all the mitzvahs that are contained. Eicho Yoyochu L'Kayim HaSatorah Kodim Shenitna. We have the same question by Avram Avinu. How could he be Mekayim the mitzvahs? How could he listen to mitzvahs before it was given over? Meheichin Yodah Malasois. How did he know what to do? How did he know what's also, what's mutter? It's explained that the Tayag mitzvahs are connected to Tayag Evarim. We have 613 Evarim, limbs of the body, bones, veins, and so forth. And according to those 613 mitzvahs, there is a 613 mitzvahs, there is one that is in contrast with each of the Evarim, with each of the different various parts of the body. Okay? K'moshe v'guf. More than that, that the guf has 613 different parts to it, so too the neshama has 613 parts to it. There is a different part to every an aspect that correlates to the part in the guf in the neshama. I'll give you an example of what this is. That say, for instance, a person is missing, they are chaser. So Rav Nachman of Breslov says, if they are missing a mitzvah that they were supposed to do with that particular Aver, so in Olam Haba, everyone's going to get beautiful clothing, right? We'll get a whole wardrobe there. The only problem is that the person's chaser, that particular Aver, didn't have the mitzvah of that Aver, so they'll walk around and they'll have one sleeve that will be off. They'll have, you know, one sleeve on, one sleeve off. And this is an interesting thing, because the clothes that we make for the Evarim and Olam Haba have to do with the mitzvahs that we do in that Aver on this world. Did we ever say over the Rabbi Yosef Shul Natanson? Rabbi Yosef Shul Natanson was one of the greatest tzaddikim. He was a poisek achron of the last story. It was like a Moshe Feinstein. Everybody in the world came to him in order to paskin. So there was a yid that came to him. He was a big, it was a gadol b'Torah. A yid came in, and it was a poor man, and the Yid said, I'm coming for Achnosis Kala. And she said, it's a daughter that has to get married. He doesn't have any money whatsoever. So Rabbi Yosef Shul, I mean, he's a poisek, he's a gadol, he's an outstanding talmid chacham, he sits and learns all day. So he says to him, should be matzliach, should be able to get the money, should marry your daughter off, everything should be okay. So he says, that's it? Rev, I came and I told you my whole problem, and this is what you said. I mean, could you like help me do something? Rev says, you don't understand. This is what I do. You come in, I give you a bracha, I heard you out, I gave you a bracha, and that's all. So the Oni goes to the door, he turns around and he says, Rev, the guy says, sure, let me ask you a question. It'll be your daughter. Would you give yourself a bracha? Or would you go and do something? Now, it's on a million different levels. We can't even talk about it, because a person shouldn't say that. They shouldn't say that. But there was a reason why he said it. And Yosef Shul heard it. On the other hand, he said, okay, I'll help raise some money. I'll raise some money. In the meantime, Yosef Shul gets ready. He takes a list of people. He starts to put together where he's going to go. He's going to go to a very wealthy person in town. He starts to walk down the pathway to go to a wealthy person. All of a sudden, he sees this Oni, and the Oni runs off from the door right in front. What happened? Rabbi Yosef Shul goes to the Gevir. He says, oh, you're coming to collect for that the poor man's wedding? I already gave. Now, how much did he give the poor man? He gave him a couple of rubles. What did he give him altogether? If Rabbi Yosef Shul would have gone in there, he would have walked out with a huge sum. Okay, messed him up. He goes down the street that afternoon, goes to another house. He's just about to go into the Gevir's house. All of a sudden, nobody's running out of the house. What did he get? He got a few coins. Oh, collected? Yeah, he just collected for that. I gave already. No matter where he went in town, Rabbi Yosef Shul saw that this guy was there. And he kept asking him, what's going on? And the guy wouldn't answer him. So, you know, sometimes an ani, Nebuch is not 100% with him. So he didn't get an answer, he just continued. Finally, Rabbi Yosef Shul collected all the money, and he said, okay, where's the ani? They're looking all over the town for the ani. He's not there, they can't find him, they're looking high and low. Rabbi Yosef Shul's going crazy. I collected the money, I collected for Akhlosim Kala. What am I going to do with it? He said, go out and find him. Finally, they found him. He was on the edge of town. And they dragged back the ani. And the ani comes in to Rabbi Yosef Shul. And Rabbi Yosef Shul sits him down and he says, now let me ask you a question. What's going on here? First of all, you come and you tell me you need the money. Then I go and I start collecting the money. And every time I want to go to collect, I see you were there 2 minutes earlier and you messed up the whole thing for me. Then finally I get the money and you're nowhere to be found. What's going on? The man said the following. Rabbi Yosef Shul, you think I need the money? I happen to be one of the wealthiest people in all of Europe. If I wanted to, I could make Achlosas Kala, I could give all of the poor Kalas in the world, I could give them all a chasna in Europe. Elamai, I want you to know, I had a great Rebbe, and he told him his Rebbe's name, and he begged his Rebbe that before he went to the Olam HaEmes, he should come down and let him know how it is over in Shemayim. What's happening up in Gan Eden? It happened on certain times. So the great Rebbe came down and he started talking to him. It was in a dream. And he sees that the Rebbe is not wearing any shoes. He doesn't have any shoes on. So he says, Rebbe, where are your shoes? So the Rebbe said the following, that everything in my judgment was 100% correct. Everything was good. The only problem is, I never walked with my feet to actually do the chesed, to actually help out. So I was decided on me, it was nigzar, that I wouldn't have shoes in Olam Haba. So the Talmud said, how could it be? How could I be misakin it? So the Rebbe told him, if you'll go 1 year collecting and doing things in chasadim with your feet, and you'll exile yourself for a year, then they'll give me shoes in Gan Eden. So this Yid is the one who's been going around for a year. So he says, Rabbi Yosef Shul, when I came in, I saw that your feet are also not in order. So I wanted to give you the schus to make sure that when you go to the Olam HaEmes, that you'll also have a pair of shoes. Similar to Ketifa Maisa. A person has to realize that there are things that are kineged, that are kineged. A person uses their Evarim for the right things, they will be zoichet. So therefore we see that the mitzvah is connected to the Aver. You want to know which mitzvah is connected to which Aver? Look in from Sadya Goyin and he will tell you which mitzvah will be connected which Aver. Okay. Furthermore, v'imkemin aroi hoya shekmo she'ein tzorech, that just like a person doesn't have to, you don't have to force a person to eat, right? You put a piece of chocolate cake down on the table. You don't have to force a person to say, you must eat the chocolate cake, you have to. Person wants to eat a chocolate cake or whatever person likes. So the same thing is, it would seem logical, Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch, that just like the goat needs the food in order to eat, so it would seem also logical that an individual should want to have mitzvahs. It should be the same way by the Inyan of Torah. Even a little baby is born, the baby wants to eat. The baby doesn't get what it needs, it cries. And the baby instinctively knows how to have food. Shekoli Shisrael, that every person of Yisrael should be they should be thirsting for Ruchnius. They should want to eat Neshamadik food. So it should be natural that a person should want to have the mazon haruchani, the spiritual food for the neshama. Now, what happens? Why we don't have that? That a person's naturally like thirsting for the next thing. Sometimes the person has to be told about the mitzvah and have to work on it and they have to force themselves to have the right kavana. Why? The problem is because Hashem gave us the goof, and the goof itself has a lot of gashmias to it. Because the goof has a lot of gashmias, it cannot always be margish. It cannot be sensitive to the wanting that it is, that it has inside. sometimes a person has to have the layers peeled away until they're able to realize deep inside what they want, because there's coverings upon coverings upon coverings. Inside the neshama wants, but the goof has so covered it over that the neshama does not want anymore. And sometimes the goof in various things can fool the neshama. The goof can fool the person about what the neshama really wants. The neshama could be screaming out, "I don't want this! I don't want it! Why'd you bring me here?" A person goes into a place, the neshama starts screaming. Or the neshama says, "This is the right situation for me." And the goof says, "Well, I don't know if I like this situation or not." The neshama is covered over by the goof, and therefore it screams out sometimes. The neshama screams out, but we cannot always hear it because the goof separates it. Ochen Avraham Avinu, but by the case of Avraham Avinu, how did he know the mitzvahs? He knew how to purify the goof. It is possible to be able to purify the body. Avraham Avinu did such a purification of the body that he no longer had that drive of the gashmius, of the whole material that covered it over. And because of that, Avraham Avinu was able to be sensitive. Then the neshama would cry out. For instance, the hand would cry out, "Tfilin." The eyes would cry out. Whatever mitzvah is shayach to the eyes, see something great. The ears would cry out. All of the evarim, tkiya shofar, every aver would cry out for what they wanted. And that's how Avraham Avinu knew it, because it's an inborn nature. It's something that we all want. You don't have to tell a person, "I'm going to force you to drink water." You don't have to tell a person, "I'm going to force you. Here's a delicious steak. I'm going to force you to eat it." Nobody needs it, because we realize it's an inborn thing. The same thing as by Rufnius, it's inborn. Since Avraham Avinu was able to clarify his goof, it was simple for him to know what's a mitzvah, because just like the baby knows how to drink, so too Avraham Avinu knew how to do every mitzvah. Okay, now, there's only a little point that we have to learn, is how does a person purify the goof? That's only the little homework that a person has to do to know how to make their goof in a different way. Like it says in the Dorim, Ben Shloishonim, Hiker es Boiroi. At 3 years, he was already makir who the creator was. V'yacharkach, and after that, went to the Kivshon HaEish and HaKasdim, and there was no Shemet Shel Choymer. There was no physical aspect to Avraham Avinu anymore. He's so purified. It's an amazing thing. Avraham Avinu was super, super. Avraham Avinu, don't forget that his mother tried to hide him. You know, it's an interesting thing. The mama tried to hide him because there was a gezeira. The melech said, no babies. That's it. It was a gezeira against babies. So nobody was allowed to have a baby. Avraham Avinu's mama, you can imagine the great tzaddikus Avraham Avinu must have had for a mother. It was an unbelievable mama. Had that great tzaddikus. The only thing is, when she was pregnant, so people began to say, "Oh, you're having a baby?" So, you know, people shouldn't comment, it's not right, but never. Anyhow, he commented. So she was smart. She said, "No, I have a certain disease of the stomach, and therefore it's bloated, and people bought it." Yeah, she knew how to do it. When it came time to Avraham Avinu to be born, she realized that the gig is up, whatever they say. She went deep into the cave. She went away from civilization. She went deep in the cave, and she had Avraham Avinu. She had the baby. Avraham Avinu was a baby. The mama, for one reason or another, had to go back, or else she was afraid they would both be killed, and she left little Avraham Avinu in the cave. What happened to Avraham Avinu? He grew l'maylam min hateva, chutz midarach hateva. Ki ovi v'im yazavuni, my father and mother may have left me, v'Hashem yasveini. Hashem takes care. Even the baby that's left, that they never think that anyone will find, chas v'shalom, the Ribbono Shel Olam will make sure that baby is found. So, what happens? Interesting. Avraham Avinu starts to grow. You know, chutz midarach hateva. Now, I have to tell you another thing. Chutz midarach hateva is also on many different levels with us. We won't go into it right now, but there are a lot of things that happen supernaturally with us in our own development, and how a baby grows in 9 months and learns the whole Torah and so on. There's a lot of things that are supernatural. Avraham Avinu grew, and he started to grow up. He's just still a baby, but he grew up. One day, the mama comes back. She She wanted to see, what's the Gevurah? What happened from Avraham Avinu? She went back to see what she could find. Avraham Avinu was walking around. He's already grown. And he sees the mama, and he says, could I help you? She's looking all around the caves where she was. He realizes. So she said, well, I'm looking like for a baby. Avraham Avinu said, baby? Why would a baby be? And the whole story came out that she had the baby, left the baby in the cave, and that was Avraham Avinu. And it goes on and on and on. Now there is a great level. It's a great level that a person has to understand that is possible by a regular individual. It doesn't have to be Avraham Avinu. It doesn't have to be Moshe Rabbeinu. It can be you or I. We have the possibility for greatness. The whole way that Avraham Avinu was able to do it was to be able to be mezachek, to purify and to cleanse himself, until the point where he was kula ruchnius and he only thought about the things that will the things that will affect his neshama. Let's go one more step further. Vayishlach Avraham es yadoi, then it says Avraham sent forth his hand, vayikachas amalcheles lishchoides benoi, and he took the knife to shecht his son. Shatevis vayishlach es yadoi, that why does it say sent his hand? L'chayra, it's a lashon that's not necessary. Elamai, like we said, since his evarim would tell him what they needed to do, since the limbs would tell him what was the mitzvah, what was an avera, how did Avraham Avinu know there was an avera, what was an avera, he would reach for something that wasn't kosher, his hands would be petrified, paralyzed, would not move at all. So therefore we see that that's the whole idea. On this level we're going to explain now Ma'aseh v'Nishma. What does it mean that we will do first then we'll hear? Chazal say Yisrael Misha Omdol Har Sinai, as soon as Yisrael stood on Har Sinai, it was like a mikveh. It cleansed us from everything. All the chumrias, everything that we had added on, we were completely clear. Everyone standing in Har Sinai, we were given like a complete time. Pure, we were purified completely. How did we get to be back away, back gashmiistic? How did we once again get to the level where we became steeped in Gashmias? That came as a level that a person gets involved in this world. Another example, Chosen and Kala, right? Chosen and Kala has a possibility to build one of the Chorvas of Yerushalayim. A person that goes to a Chasana, that's not the Chosen and Kala. Any person gets Tshuva, sits in Tshuva, go to the Chuppah, be quiet there for a few minutes, you stand there, instant tshuva. So you walk out, you just got clean, you just went to the greatest mikveh in the world, and you walk out of Zakai. So what happens? Nebuch, what happens is a person gets into a couple of eras and a couple more little eras, and before they know it, it's business as usual. That's why we say in Agada, Ilu Kervano Lifnei Har Sinai, if the Ribbono Shel Olam would have brought us close to Har Sinai, and Hashem would not have given us the Torah, that we would have understood that just by the act of coming close to our Sinai, it completely took us out of our uncleanliness. It took us out of the Gashmias. How does a person work on it? Now, there's a few ways. One, an individual has to be willing to really, really work. If a person just says, I'll put it on cruise control and I'll let things go as they are, I'll try to do some mitzvahs, mitzvahs to come my way, I'll do. Oh, it's an interesting thing. I don't know if you ever went, but if you go to the minion factory, right? So it's an interesting thing. If you're in a rush, you can do it really in an interesting way. You walk in there, you got to hit Kedusha, right? So you go, you got a place that's already up to Shtabach, you can begin right away. Bisovech on the Tzibur. Then you hit Kedusha. After you hit Kedusha, so you got to listen to all the Kedushas. No, you don't. You go in the next room, they're already on Kriyas Hatayra. As soon as you're done with the Kriyas Hatayra, you don't have to worry, you want to hear the last Kaddish, you go in the last Kaddish. And then you finish, you go home. 6 minutes, Shacharis, Thursday morning. No problem, beginning day. That's cruise control. Never, I mean, that's the way it could go. That's cruise control. That's the person just saying, the mitzvahs that will... Now, you can clean your house for Pesach, big mitzvah. Clean your house, or you can call in a cleaning group. clean group can come in and clean the whole house and everything is ready. Sparkling, you don't have to worry about it. Two different avodas. It's two different ways. And all the same thing, they'll put your sukkah up, they'll take your sukkah down. They'll, the person does not have to worry about anything. The Hanukkah was so beautiful. It's interesting, you can buy for 10 times the normal price the pre-packaged lights. Did you see them? You don't have to do anything, you have to put the oil. You said the, I remember the whole memory of Hanukkah, the cotton, and you twist it, then you put in the oil. It's the whole thing to make. What did Aaron HaKohen do? I want to ask you a question. He did the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. What did he do? Buy the prefab and just put it in there, run and light, and went back to business? About a nid. What did he do? It was work. He had to clean it out. He had to work with the oil. He had to work with it. Put in the wick and so forth. Now, you just buy prefab. It's a box. You bring it home. Put the candle in. You light the candle and run. That's basically what happens today. But that's a different mice. It's not the yigiyah. It's not the toil. That a person has to toil in the mitzvah. Anything that we do is in the same way. Anything that we do is in the same way. A person says, I want to do a maisa chesed, right? Want to do a maisa chesed, very good. They have to work in the chesed. They have to figure out, what does that person need? And then they're starving and want something, right? So they say to the oni, you know what? I never like the guy who wears in this horrid tie every day, the oni. So he needs food, he needs a drink. The guy goes to the store, buys him a beautiful tie, and says, here, oni, here the tie. The guy doesn't care how he looks. It's not what he can eat for dinner, right? He needs food. But that's a person. Now, why does it, what does a pasuk say? Pasuk can tell him it's unbelievable. It is so important. Ashrei maskil el dol. Happy is the person that is intellectual, that can see into the poor person. We have to see the poor person. We'll just give the guy a quarter and send him on his way. Ashrei maskil el dol. That he takes the time to figure out, what does this person really need? Does he need a tie from Gucci, or does he need to have just a bowl of cholent? That's what a person has to say. Maskil el dol, he wants to help him out. That's what it's talking about. In every mitzvah that a person has to put yigiyah. It's unbelievable. Bnei Yeshua, Helig Bnei Yeshua, in those days they had some bochum that were rich. Now you know, if you're learning up a sugya, you got to take all the different svarim. And you've got to run around the Beis Medrash. You've got a big Beis Medrash. You have to take the Pnei Yeshua from here. You've got to take the Yom Shel Shleima from there. You've got to take a Rabbi Kiva Eger. Then sometimes you have to look for it. So it's a lot of exercise. You wonder how yeshiva guys get exercise. That's the whole program. They don't have to bend. You have to reach. It's all included. There's no need for calisthenics. So some Bochum were very wealthy. And you know what they did? They thought they learned like a big table. It's a round table. They got smart. They hired a carpenter. You know, when they put on the spices, what do you call that rack? Lady Susan, they turn around the rack and you get what you want. Smart. They made the tabletop like the Lazy Susan. So when a person needed a safer, it would be on the other side. You wouldn't have to get up and actually walk over, bend. He'd say, fellas, turn the table. The safer would come right in front of him, presto. Pnei Yeshua walks in. He sees the bochum turn to the table. He says, my high, what's going on? And they said, well, we came up with this event. And Yeshua said, loy mitoch idom. It doesn't happen from pleasure. It doesn't happen from in the hammock. You know, the guy said, they're trying to learn. What happens is, when a person puts yigi into it, when they put toil into it, that's when it's going to learn. That's when the mitzvah is going to be something. And that's the way that a person can purify themselves. When they'll realize that it is impossible to have it done just in a simple way. A person has to be willing to stay up a little bit, to stay up a few nights. A person has to be willing to go through a number of things. Teaching, giving over to a Talmud, giving over to a Talmida. The same way a person can say, all right, listen, I'm going to say it right now. I'm going to say the lesson one time. And if you can pick it up, good. If you can't pick it up, too bad. Can't say it like that. And they can't say it half power. The person's got to put themselves completely into it. Everything has to be with yigiyah. But that's what helps to purify the individual. Because then, if the individual does such a thing, then what neshama wants inside is so much easier. They build themselves up that they start paying more attention to the ruchnius in their life. Once they pay more attention to the ruchnius in their life, it's much simpler. Now, a person's very gashmius oriented, right? Say the person likes money a lot. They love that money. They love it. What happens? Somebody says, could you give tzedakah? So the guy, first of all, to take out the money is already, you know, it's a difficult thing. Then he takes out the quarter and he holds it. Maybe they'll ask me another time. I don't have to rush with it, you know. Then they ask him another time. He says, oh, you need tzedakah? Could you tell me what you're collecting for? Are you collecting? But isn't there like organizations, federations take care of that? First of all, I thought, for them to part with the quarter is like Eva Menachai. It's just a difficulty, right? Then finally, so, all right, I'm going to give a quarter. They hold it up. Everybody, watch. They put a quarter in the book. Now, why is it? Because the Gashmias has so enveloped that person that they live the life and it's all materialism. It's all Gashmias. They didn't understand yet what is the key of Ruchnias. What is the key in order to be able to give over it the mitzvahs in the right way? It takes Yigiyah, but that's understandable. Or Gashmias, a person's Gashmias. So they're sitting Yom Kippur, the person's in the Gashmias, they say, you know, it's been a long time. I already hear since 8 o'clock in the morning. They begin to look in the Machzor. Shin Pei Gimel, Yuval, Tavoli right now. They start, okay, how many of these are Piyutim? How many are we skipping here? That person doesn't have it right. They're not doing the Neshama. They're doing the Tzorchei HaGuf. The reason they're doing the Tzorchei HaGuf is because the Guf was too built up. Now that, what this means is something that there's hope for all of us, even me. That a person could work through the Gashmias and there have an easier time with Ruchnias. How do they work through the Gashmias? They try a little bit more each day, and then the Ruchnias will become much easier. The davening the whole time won't be difficult. The giving the tzedakah will not be difficult. All the mitzvahs will not be difficult if they work. If they want to sit exactly where they're at and do the mitzvahs, it may be difficult for them. Because more into the Gashmias. They understand, but they don't understand what the Neshama is because they don't allow it to come through. And so the Slonimer says that this is the reason why it was Moshe Rabbeinu gave over the Torah in such a way. The reason is of course that it had to be given on the levels for the person to be able to understand, to work a little bit in the mitzvahs, to get a little bit more, to work up the madregas from one madrega to the next until the person is able to purify themselves, until the rotzon and the cheshek of the neshama will come out. And that's what happened in Har Sinai, that we were all of us were taken, we were put in one gigantic mikveh, the zarakti alechem mayim tahorim, with the hartem, and we were completely purified. And after that, we had a tremendous cheshek for each word of Torah. The only problem is everybody knows, wherever there's a greater concentration of Kedusha, a greater concentration of mitzvos, there is also a greater concentration of Tumah, and there's also the Yetzer Hara goes to work double time. And that's why there were so many different things that happened. But in truth, we learned from the pages of this parsha, we learned how a person should put in a little bit of Yigiyah. We put in Yigiyah in any way, anything that's difficult, a person puts in Yigiyah, they will for sure be paid off. A person that puts in toil into any mitzvah, it will pay off. Even if a mitzvah is difficult for us, say for instance a person has difficulty with one mitzvah, it could be. Chofetz Chaim says it's normal. There are some people that love one mitzvah and they can't wait to do it. Some people mahadar, some people crazy achnosos archim. Crazy to do achnosos archim all the time. They're meshuggah to it. Other people comes to a mitzvah like, you know, matzahs, achilas matzah. They're very, very careful in it. Another person, Purim. Purim's their day. They go every day and there's the Purim and then Shushan Purim and the day after Shushan Purim. They're still at it. It's Purim. And it's into them too. It's okay. Chofetz Chaim says that a person could have a special netiya, a special kesher to one particular mitzvah. It is possible that a person has one mitzvah in particular that appeals to them. It is also possible that a person may have one mitzvah that is extremely difficult for them to do. That's normal. That's 100% normal. Bez Hashem, we're out of time, but we'll go into it in the future. If a person has a difficulty, how do they overcome it and make it one of the things that they do have an atiyah for? Everybody, atzlocha rabu b'suas toivas. We should hear good news soon. Karab.